From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, June 5th, 2025. The First Circuit Court of Appeals today heard oral arguments in Republican State Representative Laurel Libby's bid to overturn a censure by Democrats in the Maine House. The censure prohibited Libby from voting or speaking during floor debates, and her legal challenge was initially dealt two key setbacks. But as Steve Missler reports, a recent order by the U.S. Supreme Court temporarily restoring her voting rights may have changed the trajectory of the case.
Libby was censured by Democrats in February for criticizing a transgender high school athlete in a social media post. That post helped ignite the ongoing dispute between Maine Governor Janet Mills and President Donald Trump. While that conflict has garnered national media attention, Libby's censure, in her refusal to end it with an apology, has churned alongside it, raising legal questions about whether legislatures can punish lawmakers for conduct outside the statehouse. Libby's attorneys argue that they can't, and that her censure effectively violates her free speech rights while also disenfranchising the 9,000 residents in her district. On Thursday, that argument was echoed by Hermeet Dhillon, an assistant U.S. attorney for the Department of Justice, which is backing Libby's lawsuit.
This is an extreme case, an arbitrary case, a case of unilateral disenfranchisement for speech that occurred outside the legislative boundaries.
Until recently, Libby's legal bid to remove her censure ran headlong into what's known as legislative immunity. It's a legal doctrine that essentially allows legislatures to govern the conduct of lawmakers. And it's also viewed as a separation of powers guardrail between the legislative and judicial branches of government. And in two rulings, legislative immunity reigned as a federal judge and later the appellate court ruled that it applied to a code of conduct rule that's existed in the Maine legislature for more than 200 years. Dhillon argued that Libby's punishment was so extreme that the court should still intervene. She said the case wasn't close, leading to this exchange with Judge Seth Aframe.
It makes me nervous because immunity isn't about, is it the close case? Immunity is about stay out of our business.
Except in extraordinary cases. Right. And this is an extraordinary case.
Most of the hour-long argument centered on the limits of legislative immunity and whether Libby's right to speak from the House floor should be restored. But while her right to vote is also part of the case, the appellate court barely mentioned it. That's because the U.S. Supreme Court recently intervened in order that Libby's House votes should be counted while the case goes through appeal. Assistant Maine Attorney General Jonathan Bolton, who is representing House Speaker Ryan Fecteau in the lawsuit, tried to convince the panel that legislative immunity applies in both instances. But Judge Aframe seems skeptical because of the high court's order.
And we're only asking, is she likely to succeed? And we've been told it's indisputably clear she'll succeed. Who are we to say anything else but that's right?
Bolton tried to argue that the Supreme Court's order came via the emergency or shadow docket, with no oral arguments, a compressed time period to file briefs, and without the ruling justification that comes with cases that come through the court's regular docket. Nevertheless, the High Court's order loomed large during Thursday's arguments. The appellate court adjourned with no timetable for a decision. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Maine House Speaker Ryan Fecteau joined advocates today in urging his colleagues to set aside money for cost of living adjustments for direct care workers. With the state facing a Medicaid funding shortfall, Democratic Governor Janet Mills proposed eliminating the automatic pay increases for direct care personnel who work in nursing homes, group homes, and other healthcare settings. Facilities across Maine have struggled for years to retain and recruit such employees because of low pay and difficult work. In fact, Fecteau pointed to estimates that Maine already needs more than 2,000 full-time direct care workers to meet demand.
Keeping wages and benefits flat will only exacerbate the shortage, strain our hospitals and long-term care facilities, and further endanger public health. I appreciate the bipartisan support I've had for my legislative colleagues on this issue.
The Democrat acknowledged that there is stiff competition for funding as state revenues level off. The legislature's budget writing committee is expected to recommend a revised spending plan in the next 2 weeks. Maine Independent Senator Angus King says he has concerns about the new U.S. and Israeli-backed program that's delivering humanitarian aid into Gaza. As Patty White reports, King recently met with some of the 38 Mainers who are 2 weeks into a hunger strike in solidarity with Palestinians.
The Gaza Humanitarian Foundation began delivering aid to Palestinians at the end of May after a nearly three-month blockade. There are reports that dozens of Palestinians have been killed and injured while waiting for food. And Senator King, who recently visited the region, says only four distribution centers have been set up.
I have serious concerns about this. Number one, about the blockade, which I think was unconscionable. And secondly, that the process that's underway now, there are red flags that it may not be serving the needs of the Palestinian people in terms of fundamental food and medical supplies for people that are in dire need.
King met with the main coalition for Palestine last weekend. 38 members are on hunger strike in solidarity with starving Palestinians. They're also circulating a petition signed by more than 1,400 individuals and businesses demanding unfettered aid under United Nations authority to resume in Gaza and for the U.S. to stop arming Israel. The group is urging Mainers to maintain pressure on Senator King to take action. They've also asked for a formal meeting with Congressman Jared Golden. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Governor Janet Mills this morning accepted an award named for Robert F. Kennedy, the Democratic senator shot and mortally wounded on June 5, 1968. A foundation now gives an award in his name to highlight courage. Mills was cited for standing up to President Trump when he threatened state funding. Mills told a ceremony in Washington she had no choice.
When he declared, we are the law, I said the only thing I knew to say and what any country lawyer would have said. See you in court.
Mills succeeded in defending federal funds for child nutrition. A proposal to change the waiting period in Maine's Death with Dignity law won initial support in the House on Wednesday, but as Kevin Miller reports, it drew emotional debate.
Maine's Death with Dignity law requires terminally ill patients to wait at least 17 days between their first request for a fatal dose of medication and when a doctor writes out that prescription. Many patients choose to never use the drugs, but at least 9 patients have died during that 17-day period. The Maine House voted to advance a bill that would allow doctors to waive some or all of that waiting period if they deem it to be, quote, in the best interests of their patients. Representative Christy Matheson of Kittery recounted how things might have been different during her father's final painful days.
It was a very inhumane death for my father. If this law were enacted, he could have worked with his provider to move forward with what his wishes were.
But Representative Kathy Javner of Chester, who has been diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, opposes Maine's aid in dying law, and she urged her colleagues to respond to suffering with love and palliative care rather than, quote, surrender.
Every morning I wake up, I get to look into the eyes of those I love, and I am reminded that life is still beautiful, still worth fighting for.
The bill faces additional votes in both chambers. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The Maine legislature has passed a bill requiring farm workers in Maine to be paid at least the state minimum wage beginning next January. It now heads to Governor Janet Mills for her consideration. Because of exemptions in the current law, some farm laborers in Maine can be paid the federal minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour. Many farms already pay workers the state minimum wage of $14.65 an hour. The governor's office said Mills is reviewing the legislation, but she supports requiring that agricultural workers earn the minimum wage and introduced a bill to do that last year. Mills vetoed her own bill, however, after lawmakers added provisions that she opposed. Air quality warnings remain in effect along much of the coast today as a combination of wildfire smoke and ozone pollution hang over the state. Molly Anking has more.
The Maine Department of Environmental Protection has issued an air quality alert for coastal areas from Kittery to Acadian National Park for ozone pollution, and for the whole state for particulate pollution. Heat, pollution, and smoke from Canadian wildfires are to blame for the moderate warnings, which recommend sensitive populations, like children and older adults, to limit time outside, and for those who work outdoors to take frequent breaks. There are currently more than 200 wildfires burning across Canada, and the smoke and particulate matter are moving across New England. The moderate air quality warning will remain in effect for the whole state on Friday, but the weekend is expected to be clear. The ozone pollution warning is the result of greenhouse gas emissions being blown in from the Mid-Atlantic region and the Midwest. That should clear up on Friday, according to the DEP. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, veterinary care. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks.